I'm very happy now to welcome back to the program Alina Scheim. She's Executive Director and Instructor with Impact Personal Safety. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much.
So you are doing all sorts of courses for the public and for all kinds of people in New Mexico and beyond New Mexico. And there's one coming up very soon, Saturday the 10th of August. It's a half-day workshop called Courageous and College Bound Campus Life Prerequisite Workshop. It's for teenagers and it's girls, right, up to the age of 21.
Girls 15 to 21, exactly.
Yeah. So what do you do in that workshop? What are their special needs that you're addressing?
I would say the biggest need that we're addressing in that is that the way that girls are most likely to experience violence in that age group is around dating, sexuality, rape. And so while we are giving them some very quick physical skills and communication skills, the biggest crux of that is talking about, gosh, how have you been socialized as a girl, you know, to be sweet and nice and all these things that we love about you and get you what you want in so many instances in life, and how is that going to be detrimental to your personal safety at times, and how can you choose what strategies you use when? And so we're really talking about that moment of, you know, the time when dating is starting or is getting more intense for the girls, and figuring out how they can navigate their boundaries so that they're more likely to be respected and take care of themselves.
Date rape continues to be a huge problem on college campuses.
Mm-hmm. It sure does. You know, part of how we started doing this class was around some incidents that happened at UNM, at the fraternities and sororities there. And then also, I think with all of the press that Steubenville got this past year and all of the party scenes, you know, it's unfortunate, but it's fantastic that there has been more of a dialogue in our communities around rape culture and just this awareness that these rapes are not happening in a vacuum. Something is happening to create this as a culture. So we need to make sure that we're doing just as much work to undo it.
I think one of the things that came out of the Steubenville case and all the media discussion around it was that it's not just about girls learning to defend themselves, although that's certainly a big mm-hmm. part of it, and that's what you're teaching, and it's great. Mm-hmm. But it's also about really educating boys mm-hmm. that they are human beings, and that girls are human beings, and that we're all in this together, and we're supposed to respect each other.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because I think that a lot of times people can think we're only doing work on one side of the spectrum. And at Impact, we are working with girls and boys. We're working on how to defend ourselves and how to stop these things. And we're also working on how do we change the culture so it doesn't get there in the first place. And both, I think, are critical if we really want to address violence in our communities.
So how do you do it? How are you working with boys?
The work that we do with boys is, we have a workshop called Redefining Consent. And the idea of that is going from the idea that the absence of the word no means that's consent to the presence of the word yes is what you need to think you have consent. And we've done those classes at the fraternities on campus at UNM. Hopefully we'll continue to do them this year. A lot of groups are starting to do them in the anti-sexual violence movement, and they're typically called a yes means yes curriculum.
Yeah.
That's what they're oftentimes called. And so, you know, that's one of the pieces that we tell our boys. And then we also talk with the girls about, okay, this is what we're telling the boys. So since we're telling the boys this, if you are in a heterosexual relationship and this is what somebody is approaching you with, you need to treat them, you know, you need to help them have that dialogue. You know, for boys, it's the most frightening thing. You know, I have these conversations and say, if there was any other way that we could help you prevent sexual assault without having to have that awkward conversation, we would do it for you, we
yeah.
swear. But that's what it takes. And so for girls, that means that we need to be communicative in response if we're the ones responding rather than initiating. And it also means that we need to give the boys props for using this thing that we say we want.
Can you tell if it's helping? I mean, are the boys who really would otherwise end up being rapists showing up at these Yes Means Yes events?
Well, the best and I think the most productive way of doing them are in groups that are already established. It's not like we're offering that for the public. I would love to say we are offering that for the public, but no one will attend. We know that. And so it's best to do it in preset groups where, for that fraternity, that was a required meeting.
In fraternities?
Yeah, we went to a fraternity house in spring of last year at UNM.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. It's very exciting.
That's huge.
It's very exciting. And then we did work with the girls as well of how do you stay safe at parties? Let's talk about this rape culture. Let's talk about how to support someone who's disclosed. And, you know, the work with the boys, you know, I have to give those guys credit. You know, fraternities have such terrible reputations and sometimes for very deserved reasons, which is why we were there in the first place. But they, you know, talking about, gosh, what do girls do on a regular basis? What do you know that women do to prevent sexual assault and rape? What do you guys do on a regular basis to prevent those things? Okay, there's a clear disparity there. However, let's now talk about what things I do on a regular basis to not be perceived as an aggressor. Okay, what do you have to do on a regular basis? You know, and the guy's list is a mile long, ranging from clothes that they choose to wear to crossing the street if they're walking by a woman to not getting in the elevator with her, or if you go into the elevator with her, ignoring her so that she won't feel threatened, or maybe you talk her up a lot so that you prove you're a nice guy. You know, it's...
Aye, aye, aye. So there's a lot of pressure on people who feel that they might be perceived as dangerous mm-hmm. when they're not dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I think that, you know, I think it's a great way of talking about how violence affects everyone in this community. We know that women are not going out at night, choosing whether they wear that skirt, walking with keys between their fingers, even though violence on the street is so rare compared to violence in the home. But we don't talk about, gosh, what are the things that you guys are doing, and how is this affecting us when we go on dates, you know?
I mean, these conversations need to be had together, and pretty soon everybody would
mm-hmm.
start laughing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that it is, you know, we do them in mixed gender groups, and I do think that it's a piece that we look at in our classes. Okay, if I follow the girl rule and you follow the boy rule of I'm supposed to be kind of coy and not really say what I want, and you follow the, okay, I'm supposed to be persistent and be a man and pursue this, what is going to happen? What is naturally going to happen
yeah.
if we follow those rules? It's yeah. inevitable. It's no one's fault. It's inevitable.
I was sort of laughing because I remember once years ago, I read an issue of Cosmo, an article in Cosmo, and then I read an article, some article in, I think it was called Maxim. It was a men's magazine.
Yeah.
And both of them said, let the other person make the first move. And I thought, well, if everybody followed the instructions in this, nobody would ever get together at all.
Right, right. It's true. And, you know, I think that's a great opening into talking about non-heterosexual relationships where you're breaking all the rules,
yeah.
right? It's not scripted, which is the beauty of it. But then there's that piece of, okay, whose job is this now?
Yeah.
You know, and I think for teens and that bridge teen group, that's just a great time to be talking about these things. You know, I love the classes because they go from, ooh, I'm a little scared of learning self-defense to a bunch of girls giggling about dating and what they want, you know, in their relationships and things that we know that girls love talking about.
Yeah.
And it can give them skills while talking about it.
We're talking to Alina Scheim of Impact Personal Safety. It's funny because there's a time in a lot of our lives where we had to learn that no matter how you felt about the other person, you had to have the sexually transmitted diseases conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And that it was sort of like, okay, this is becoming the norm, mm-hmm. and if I do this, mm-hmm. nobody's going to think I'm weird because mm-hmm. there's been so much education about it in the media
mm-hmm.
that what I'm doing is completely normalized. And
mm-hmm.
I think that part of what you're doing is normalizing a set of behaviors.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And, you know, I have to say just a brief shout out to Jess Clark doing the work at Salus because he does a lot of the work, formerly Rape Crisis Treatment Center, in the communities. And one of the things he says is, you know, if think about something that was strange, it was unusual 50 years ago, and now it's completely usual. So if you saw on TV people asking before kissing, would you think that was odd if that happened on your date? No, you'd expect it. That would be normal.
There's also reality, which is that society changes very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And a half a generation before me, women were not allowed to get birth control prescribed unless they were married.
Mm-hmm.
And so birth control information on college campuses was a completely underground thing.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time I went to college, it was completely normal, and it was considered, you were considered sort of backwards if you didn't get at least some of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know exactly what the changes are and how quickly they're happening now. In a way, I mean, I was hoping, and I've been hoping, that the girls who are 15 to 20 now would have gained a lot of the empowerment that the women before fought for. But I was just talking to a 13-year-old girl a couple of days ago, and she said, oh, it's as bad as it ever was.
Mm-hmm.
And she described what that looked like in her life and her school and
mm-hmm.
so on.
Well, and I think that there's the aspect in which there's always the social pressures that change and shift, and there's also the piece that you always want your relationship with your dating partner to work out. And so we always, you know, there's this piece, and then socialization only makes it more significant, where if some behavior shows up on a date that I don't really want to see, is it possible for me to go, ooh, you know what, I'm just going to let that one slide because I like you so much. And I think the change in dialogue that can happen is, how can we look at breaking up or saying, you know what, this date has to end, or I don't think we have the connection that I had hoped for, as a success rather than a failure.
Right.
Because I know for me as a teenager, that was a real barrier for me, is I didn't want to feel like I was failing. And in fact, there was no dialogue about how you break up with someone, or how you stop going down that road when you realize that something is not to your liking.
Well, and you talk about being a teenager. This goes on through the entirety of a woman's life cycle. There are women in abusive relationships who take that same kind of nonsense for years,
mm-hmm.
whether they're living with somebody or married,
mm-hmm.
and they don't know how to break up.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we all know it gets only more and more complicated, right? We know that there's children involved, financial aspects involved. So we want to be really careful to never getting into the victim blaming mindset, and at the same time say, you know what, if this is the beginning of a girl's dating life cycle, romantic life cycle, how can we give her just as many skills as possible, as many strategies as possible, so that instead of being a passive partner in the relationship and just taking what she's given, she's choosing, she's vetting, she knows that she is interviewing her potential partners, and that you have to win. You have to win in order to be in my life. It's not just, oh, you're the first one in line.
Right. I think one of the things that's so strong about Impact Personal Safety is that when women and girls are empowered in the ways that you teach, a lot of problems never arise in the mm-hmm. first place.
Mm-hmm.
So people who are walking around in their bodies, in their power, not that they have to be belligerent or have a chip on their shoulder,
mm-hmm.
but just to have that kind of self-assurance, tend not to attract the abusive type of men in the first place.
Mm-hmm. We know that there are studies in which people look at who those who go to jail for assaulting others, who they choose. And that's who they choose as a victim, intended victim on the street, up to dating partners. That is across the board true. And you know, that is why, even though it's incredibly unlikely to have to use physical skills in real life for our graduates, that's the whole reason we teach those skills, is just what you say of, if I know that I can stop a physical assault, gosh, saying I'm not really ready to go any further, that's a little less scary. Because I know that if things get worse, I can take care of it. And I've faced my biggest fears. I've faced the possibility of, you know, having to defend myself against rape, having just a conversation before it gets to that point. is a lot less scary.
Alina Scheim is the executive director of Impact Personal Safety, and the event, the half-day workshop on Saturday, August 10th, is called Courageous and College Bound Campus Life Prerequisite Workshop. If people want to get in touch and sign up for it, how do they find you?
You can go to impactpersonalsafety.org, and you can also call us at 992-8833.
ImpactPersonalSafety.org, 992-8833. Alina, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe, and keep up the great work.
Thank you.